The Tom Woods Show, episode 1396.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you've ever considered publishing a book through Kindle, I have a lot of experience with it. I helped to publish Bob Murphy's book in Kindle, my own book, Real Descent, that was self-published, I published in Kindle, and I've assembled some videos that will show you step-by-step all the tech aspects of preparing your manuscript to be published as a Kindle book, and also a series of strategies that most people don't know about that Kindle itself makes available to you to help get the word out about your book so people actually see it and buy it. Get these videos for free at tomwoods.com/Kindle. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. All right, I dug one out of the archives for you today. All right, this is from 10 years ago, and I thought you might appreciate the novelty of it because I was a guest with Alex Jones. People have been curious about, have we ever had a conversation together? When Meltdown, my book on the financial crisis, came out, he did invite me on. We did have this conversation, and I'm reproducing it here without really having listened to it in 10 years. So I don't know if it's terrible. I assume I did an okay job. I do remember at one point him insinuating that the financial crisis had been instigated sort of on purpose, that the powers that be had done this on purpose. And I just let that go because that was going to get us down a rabbit hole I didn't want to go down because I don't believe that at all. I don't see, I just don't see that. There were major institutions that went down in the financial crisis. This was a big, big deal. And these people surely did not want that to happen. Secondly, once a crisis like this gets started, it's very difficult to control it or know where it's going to go. It's not something you'd want to just start, you know, wind up and then watch it unfold. You just wouldn't. And then thirdly, a crisis of that scope, even if they are going to try to blame it on greed and the banks and Wall Street, nevertheless, it's still undermines people's confidence in the powers that be. And that's, again, not something they want. So that kind of thing I just don't go for. But anyway, I thought you might find this an interesting novelty to enjoy. And then, by the way, when it's all over, I have something fun to tell you about. So stick with me through the whole thing, and here we go.
Thomas Woods, author of Meltdown, is on with us for the rest of the hour. And we appreciate him coming on the show. He is a senior fellow with the Ludwig von Mises Institute with Ron Paul. He holds a bachelor's degree in history from Harvard and his master's and PhD from Columbia University. He's an author of 9 books, including 2 New York Times bestsellers, Meltdown, A Free Market Look at Why the Stock Market Collapsed, The Economy Tanked, and Government Bailouts Will Make Things Worse, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. So he joins us right now, Thomas E. Woods, to give us his perspective on what's happening with the economy and where the government's taking us. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Woods.
My pleasure.
You bet. Okay, tell us from the von Mises Austrian school angle, what's really happened here and where we're going. I think the only point of disagreement we may have is that I know this is engineered from the IMF World Bank documents. They implode things by design to then bring in even more control in the next phase of their Ponzi scheme. I don't know your view on that, but I do agree with you regardless that government's, quote, making it worse for the common person. Go ahead.
Well, there's certainly the case that regardless of where these busts come from, and I mean, I argue that it's what the Fed is doing to us. The Federal Reserve gives rise to these busts. The bottom line is that they always use the bust that they brought about as a pretext to get more power over us. It's a perverse dynamic. And unfortunately, we have so many people who are right now, because of Obama and his alleged charisma, we have people who are so zombified that they're just going to sit back and go along with what's being said. And I think it could not be more important for people who believe in freedom and who actually believe in a real free economy, not a manipulated one, to be able to answer these people, to show that every single thing they're recommending would make things worse. All the fiscal stimulus nonsense, the monetary stimulus nonsense, printing up money, every one of these suggestions you can make a superficially plausible argument for, but if you get 1 millimeter beneath the surface, every bit of it makes us poorer and gives them pretext for still more power because they perpetuate the depression.
Let's start with GM. Let's kind of start at the end.
Sure.
And then after the break, go back to the beginning of these monetary systems. $30 billion to give it to select globalist crony capitalism or monopoly capitalism, non-free market groups, to then give it to the Brazilians, give pieces to the Chinese and to the Russians and to the Europeans, having it off where the president fires the CEO because he won't do it, hijacks it, and now it's confirmed in Congress, as I'm sure you know, that if you give Democratic donations to Democratic Congress people, they'll allow your GM dealership to stay open. If not, they grab it and give it to somebody else. So it's Chicago big city machine robbing everybody. And that's, as you said, only one millimeter in to, quote, saving GM.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, we're being told that this is the last thing Obama wants to do. He doesn't want to run GM. So, you know, the usual, I think my usual rule of thumb is whatever they say, the opposite is true. So when he says he just absolutely hates the idea of running GM, you know, sorry, I guess I just don't buy that. But we're being told that eventually, don't worry, you know, the government is going to sell off its share of GM and return it to private hands, and don't worry about it. But after however long they're going to have it, I don't know, a year, 2 years, who knows how long, and they mismanage it inevitably, they use it as a big pork barrel thing, who would want to buy it? I mean, they're going to run the thing even further into the ground. Who are they going to sell it to? So they're going to wind up having it for forever, as far as I can see.
Well, I mean, having the skeleton, it's kind of like they've eaten all the meat off the turkey and there's bones laying there. They're giving it to little select cronies, you know, big pieces of it, and then making us finance kind of like a new IMF World Bank boondoggle, but through the vehicle of GM.
And it's worth noting that, you know, GM is obviously not the only bankruptcy we've had going on. We've had major, major bankruptcies of major chains, everything from Linens and Things to Circuit City. And the rule is that if you can't get financing to keep your operation running during the bankruptcy proceeding, then you've got to liquidate and that's the end of it. So Circuit City and Linens and Things, a lot of these companies couldn't get that financing, so they liquidated.
Stay there. We got a break. Yep. And then now on top of it, they're saying they're going to bail out the media. That means merging with the government. And ABC News is announcing they're getting fully behind socialized health care and will now become an organ officially of the White House. That's a headline at InfoWars.com. We've got the author Thomas Woods on ThomasWoods.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back. TomWoods.com is the website. He is New York Times bestselling author of multiple books. Meltdown, a free market look at why the stock market collapsed, the economy tanked, and government bailouts will make things worse. Okay, I'm going to try to sit back. One of the fellows at Von Mises Institute with Ron Paul, I'm going to sit back and let you break it down from your perspective, but I just want to throw out, what do you think of this hoax of Newsweek and others saying that we're all socialists now and that this is socialism? Socialism, I think, is bad enough, but supposedly some of the stolen money goes to the poor. This is offshore corporations looting us and exsanguinating us and sucking us dry. I mean, this is not socialism we're seeing. Isn't this just highway robbery or piracy that's going on, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that I wouldn't even want to dignify it with a word. I mean, you know, other than looting or whatever, like, there's no economic philosophy behind it. It's just whatever economic rationale they try to put forth for it is just a cover for looting the population in broad daylight. And they must really get a good laugh out of how easy it is, how they're getting away with it, and how they've got the media in their pockets that just echoes all the rationales that, like, for instance, we hear things like systemic risk that, oh, you know, we've got to bail out these bankers because, you know, heaven knows if one of these institutions failed, then the others would fail, and then we'd all be reduced to crawling around eating worms. But in fact, gosh, there was an article 2-3 years ago in something called the Journal of Financial Economics that went through all these arguments and concluded that this whole systemic risk thing is totally overblown, that the actual systemic risk is about zero. This is basically just a convenient pretext for politicians when they're shoveling money to their friends. They can cover it by saying, oh, no, I'm just acting for the common good. I'm acting for you people to maintain the system. Now, come on.
Meanwhile, the 10-year note's going up. Mortgage rates are going up in reality. They can cut rates down to zero. Reality setting in. I mean, how long can this charade go on?
Well, I'm surprised it's gone on as long as it has. But you're right. I mean, I think it is essential for us to get where this comes from. Like, why does this happen to us? Because, of course, we're being told that, well, it just goes to show that when your overlords aren't running everything, this is what happens, and you stupid rubes didn't listen to us. That whole thing is becoming the conventional wisdom.
Exactly. They're saying you need bigger overlords. That will fix it when it's the very overlords that did it.
And so it's so funny when the German Chancellor Merkel said, you know, it's like when they occasionally say something sensible, they have to immediately follow it up with something disastrous. So she said, you know, gee, you know, the central banks have really done a rotten job. Hey, great so far. And then she goes on to say, therefore, we need to have a giant coordination of all the central banks. No, that's the exact opposite direction we want to go in. We should be wanting to shut these things down. It is they, and this is what Austrian theory teaches. It's what Hayek won the Nobel Prize for. It is they who get the economy hopped up on these unsustainable booms that then ruin people's lives when the bust comes. But during the boom, we're all told that, hey, this prosperity is going to go on forever. Everybody should get into the stock market. And everybody starts thinking that, you know, you can get rich quick through all this. And meanwhile, you wind up getting wiped out. And it's about time Americans realize this is not the free market looting you. It is Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke and his friends. And, you know, when Alan Greenspan said earlier this year, he said, you know, I guess there's a flaw in the free market that I hadn't noticed before. Yeah, you know what, Alan? We have met the flaw, and it is you.
Well, exactly. And he knows what he's doing. It's problem, reaction, solution. They create the crisis. Now everybody's freaking out. The public's ignorant about economics. So they're believing the guys in suits. And Bernanke says he'll fix it with accelerating the old model, a new bank of the world that we'll pay our carbon taxes to. And they're going to jack up world taxes and not let there be these cash sinks, these tax avoidance countries, and the bankers, they will have, I mean, they're openly announcing a bank of the world government run by the same parasites.
Exactly. Are we going to a break?
Yes, long segment coming up. We kind of have our breaks all stacked up together there. Amazing information, amazing book, tomwoods.com. Find out more, and you can simply get his book in all your great bookstores everywhere. Meltdown, a free market look at why the stock market collapsed, the economy tank, the government bailouts will make things worse. And they are. And how worse, we'll discuss on the other side. They're going for broke. Stay with us. Infowars.com. Now let's go to somebody who isn't an average guy, Thomas E. Woods, and economist, researcher, historian, and we appreciate him coming on the show. He's with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Okay, continuing, sir, I'd gotten up to the point of the new bank of the world, Financial Times of London, and now for world government, ruled by the very George Soros pirates. Please continue and go through the facts, proving for people that don't know that government is making it worse.
Oh, well, there's no question about it. I mean, the short version is that to some extent, we can say the Fed is a private institution. That's all well and good. But as a private institution, it would be in big trouble if it didn't have the monopoly power the government gave it to create all the money it wants to out of thin air. That's the governments and central banks always have incestuous relationships with each other. And this one works both ways. And it's the Fed that basically gave us this boom by forcing interest rates really low, getting the economy on a boom that it couldn't sustain in the long run, and bidding up housing prices. We wouldn't have had this housing bubble, the bursting of which has ruined so many people's lives, if we hadn't insisted on having a Soviet commissar running our money and interest rates. Because what would have happened is if you and I had just started buying a lot of houses just as a hobby or something, on a free market, the banks would have run out of money to lend to us, and interest rates would have shot up, and that would have put an end to all this speculation. We wouldn't have had people buying 5 investment properties and having no job. But when you have the Alan Greenspan figure, the great maestro, and he can create all the money he wants, well, he can give the banks even more to lend and keep this artificial boom going.
And they didn't stop there. They then packaged the crud. Well, explain that later, but go ahead.
Yeah, then they package the crud, sell it all over the world. And they, meanwhile, all their experts, the Fed economists, even Ben Bernanke himself was saying, no, there's no housing bubble. These prices are sustainable. They're real. Go ahead. You should have an adjustable rate mortgage. You should do all these things. Wonderful. I mean, and so people did, understandably. And they flipped houses, and people thought they could make a living simply by living in a house. Now, there's something wrong with that, that you could think that by sitting here in my house, I'm going to get wealthy. But it feeds into this sort of get-rich-quick sort of mentality.
It's delusion. Is it not mass delusion?
It absolutely was. And so it just fed on itself. And eventually, inevitably, this has to crash. There are only so many $900,000 houses people are prepared to buy. So this is an entirely a Federal Reserve System engineered boom and bust. And then we just read just today that now the Fed is going to be given even more powers over American businesses in the future. So again, as usual, the lesson is no matter how much you screw up, the solution is we're going to give you more power. No matter what happens, that is always a thing. And then,
well, Tom, here's a question, and then you can continue with your expert breakdown.
Sure.
The issue is even Senator Byrd, the fossil, is saying these czars are unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional to announce that the TSA is going to be in every major city running checkpoints on the road and on bus terminals and trains, and to have the president grab GM and fire the CEO. I can't even believe it's getting this crazy. What's coming next? I mean, it's all completely illegal.
Well, I think they're being encouraged by the fact that they take these risks. They say, you know what, let's see what the American population does if we take over the car companies, or if we fire the CEO, or if we put checkpoints everywhere. And, you know, by and large, I do think the number of people who are resisting this is growing, but it's not growing fast enough, and it can't grow fast enough. And so I think they're being encouraged to do more, to go faster than I think they imagined they could get away with at this point.
Well, that's it. I mean, they're announcing Northcom and the Army Times is ready to, quote, shoot Americans, and that the Army's new job is worrying about veterans and gun owners and DHS reports, and everything's getting crazed, and the news admits that Texas police everywhere are just robbing old ladies of their wallets. I mean, it's really becoming Twilight Zone. How much crazier do you think it'll get?
Well, I mean, as I say, I'm surprised it got this crazy. So I think it's very hard to put an upper bound on it. But what most irritates me is the idea that people who question something like the Fed, which you would think a normal society would question, if one guy can create trillions of dollars and then blow it and not even have to tell us where it's going, I mean, you would think a normal society would question that, but you're considered to be off the wall crazy if you want to know what's going on with all this money. But that, you would think that would be the normal reaction. And I get told a lot on the radio that since I favor abolishing the Fed, that I'm just throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Well, guilty as charged, because it's a demon baby. You know, I want the bathwater, the whole tub out of here. This institution...
Exactly. It's the demon baby that created all this. Sorry, go ahead.
It created all this. It makes the wars possible. It is the central funder of the empire. It is the lifeblood of the empire. And it is, at the same time, as I say, it is the author of the booms and busts.
Wow.
And it is also the institution that, in effect, encourages all this crazy, risky behavior, because the major Wall Street firms, they know, and they have known for a long time, and especially during Greenspan's tenure, that if things really get bad for the major Wall Street actors, Alan Greenspan, or whoever the Fed chairman happens to be at the time, will bail you out, because he has the power to do it. He can do it. He can create the money to bail you out. So why should we be surprised? We have no right to be surprised if Wall Street begins to get drunk, as George W. Bush said. Well, why shouldn't they? You know, I mean, they've got a safe ride home, sitting right in the room. You know, why shouldn't they get drunk?
Yeah, they're validated. They're encouraged to loot and steal. Meanwhile, you make a $1,000 mistake on your income tax that the money's paid to the private Federal Reserve, and 3 years later, it's $15,000 in penalties and interest, and there's no judge or jury, no court for you. We're held to this super high standard. And I'm seeing the delusion in government, not just in the corporate world, intensify. They really believe the craziness that they're engaged in. How do you see this unfolding market-wise? I mean, I keep asking the same question. How much further can this go historically when it finally does shake out? Where are we going to be? What is it going to look like when the dust settles?
Well, I mean, I think if they continue on the path they're on, I think this will be prolonged. It'll be worse than what happened to Japan, and I see no reason that they won't continue on this path. Obama the other day, when they were telling him, "Hey, the economy is still in the toilet," you know, what do you think about that? And he said, "Well, don't worry, we got more stimulus money coming down the pipeline." So he never thinks, nor do any of them ever think, that the problem is we've had too much of a destructive policy. It's always that we haven't had enough of it. We got to just keep doing it. And one of the points I make in Meltdown is this totally forgotten episode in American history. Nobody remembers there was a depression in the year 1920. And the reason we don't remember it is that the Fed was still so young, it hardly even knew how to operate yet. It wasn't doing open market operations. The Fed stayed out of it. The federal budget was cut in half in 2 years. And the result was you had a very quick, robust recovery. Now, that's the exact opposite of what we're told today. We're told today the government needs to get more power, needs to spend more money, it needs to inflate, needs to do all this stuff, because otherwise we'll have a disaster. Well, to the contrary, the one time we had a chance to do the opposite of this, we were out of it before you know it. But meanwhile, they are doing the very opposite of what makes sense, and they're doing exactly the same things that have now given Japan, in the last quarter annualized, Japan's economy shrank by over 15%. I mean, that you expect to hear that out of Haiti or Zimbabwe. This is Japan, and they've done everything that Geithner and all the so-called experts tell them to do. It is long past time we dispense with these so-called experts. We not feel intimidated by these people. These are morons when it comes to economics. We should have confidence that if you just sit down, and one thing I'm good at, I mean, I'm bad at a lot of things, but one thing I'm good at is explaining this stuff so the average person can get it. And a lot of people read Meltdown, and they say, you know, I understand this so clearly now. Why is it impossible for these people to get it? And then, of course, that leads to a deeper question.
Well, Tom, we know why. They're crazy like a fox. There's a method to the madness. I've read the IMF World Bank documents, as I'm sure you have. I mean, they know what they're doing. They give us all the risk. They get all the profit. And they love wrecking economies, you know, controlled command destruction. And it was great for the oligarchs in Russia when everything fell apart there. They got great power. It's great for these oligarchs. And it's like George Soros said, I'm having a great crisis. I love it. This is the culmination of my life. Close quote. They know what they're doing. And as everything implodes, then all we've got is government. It becomes the central pillar. And so I want you to speak to that. But then also, there's two schools of thought and solution. I believe in the Austrian school. I know you're right. I've studied the history. But we're already so far down the road of big government and crony capitalism, monopoly capitalism, that if we're going to have $14.8 trillion pumped out in the last 7 months, if that would have gone to big work projects and to things on the Main Street real economy, it'd still be a big debt and inflation and the wrong way to go. But it'd be a lot better than pumping it offshore to speculators to then buy barges of oil and park it off of park it off of islands in the Mediterranean, as J.P. Morgan's doing, to then jack up gas prices with artificially, so we then pay a tax to them on that. I sure know that if we're going to have $14.7 trillion, and it's our money, a fiat currency, I mean, Bloomberg reported all the mortgages in the country were $9.5 trillion. With this $14 trillion, we could have paid off all our mortgages. I mean, I think that's the message to the little socialist, the little blue-collar people that don't understand this, that, hey, they took your money offshore. Now, go ahead.
Well, I mean, and of course, then we have the additional problem that with a lot of this money that, you know, has apparently been created or spent or who knows what, we actually don't even know the exact recipients. And I'm sure you saw the video a couple months ago when there was a Democratic representative from Florida questioning the laughably titled Inspector General at the Fed. I mean, talk about an absurd title, Inspector General, like there's any inspecting going on. And he asked her, can you account for some of these trillions? I mean, we're just kind of wondering if you can just give us the exact recipients, who got what collateral was accepted. She didn't even understand the question. And one of the most, I think, rewarding moments, I mean, just really, really just joy-producing moments of my life in recent years is the realization that there are people out there who understand what's going on with the Fed, and that now it's almost like all the cool people are anti-Fed. You know, I mean, now everybody wants to jump on.
Exactly. Once the veneer of invincibility dissipates, and once Ron Paul started calling out Bernanke and Senator Sanders, I'm sure you've seen the clip where Sanders says, Bernanke, where's the money? And Bernanke says, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it is. So, I mean, as much as we, you know, are inclined to fall into despair and think, well, you know, everything's shot, it absolutely isn't, because there is a lot that an enraged populace can do. And if this crisis really continues to snowball and really barrels out of control, there's no group that can control an economy that totally collapses. Then, you know, it's anything can happen. It's a situation like that. But in the short run, people are starting to ask some good questions, and we might even get, or at least we're We might even get an audit of the Fed. And as Ron Paul puts it, no matter how that debate turns out, it is a victory. Because if we get the audit, then great. But if they veto this bill, well, in a way, that's also good, because then that just encourages more suspicion. People are going to say, well, no, wait a minute. What are you hiding?
Like, exactly. No, that's even better. I mean, we're trying to pass it with everything we've got. But if they cover it up, right as we get to the trunk that's stinking to high heaven, we're looking for the dead body, and the guy's got blood on his hands. I mean, yeah, exactly. Then everybody starts asking, why are you so secretive?
And meanwhile, to me, the amazing thing is, here we've got a supposedly free press. I'm sure you know all about this, but we've got a supposedly free press. They have a chance, the media, to interview Ben freaking Bernanke on 60 Minutes. So you'll think, oh, here will be some really great investigative journalism, right? Well, instead, the reporter walks into the Fed building, and he looks around, and he says, ooh, wow, they don't build buildings like this anymore. I mean, total lapdog, pathetic loser. And then instead of asking Bernanke, well, let's see, everything you've said has been wrong for the last 3 years. You told us there was no housing bubble, the mortgage market was great, things were going to turn around. Like, every single thing you've said is wrong, so why would we want to listen to you now? Instead, the questions were like, gee, what's your biggest concern? You know, so it was like Katie Couric interviewing Hillary Clinton.
Oh, you care about us. Tell us how you're trying to save us.
What are you trying to do?
You need more power?
Yeah.
We've been bad?
Yeah, that's what we get in what was once a free society. We get this type of thing where it is the media's role. All these journalists come out of the Pravda School of Journalism, and it's their job not to actually ask questions that would embarrass anybody or would be difficult for them to answer, but to ask questions that flatter them, make them look smart, make them look indispensable, so that we'll all just helplessly cling to these.
Well, that's
people.
Another issue. Obama cannot talk without his teleprompter. Look at you running a million miles an hour. I am Ron Paul. All of us that love liberty, we can talk. We got our facts and history. And when you really talk to Bernanke and others, and I've been around them, I've confronted them and others, they are themselves these little tight, little, you know, cards close to the chest. They won't answer any questions. I mean, it's really just a big stinking edifice that needs to come down.
Absolutely. And I mean, imagine. Now, thankfully, there is alternative media that is, of course, popping up everywhere. That's wonderful. If we had in the mainstream media, if we had one-tenth of the investigative instinct, just think of how different a country would be.
But the private Federal Reserve funds all the big mega corporations that own the media and the military-industrial complex. So when 60 Minutes was literally guarding its financial emperor, who it works for. So there is no impartiality there. And let's talk about the media bailout, where the government's going to fund the newspapers and TV. I mean, this is getting crazy. I want to take a few seconds out to thank all the listeners. Unlike the government, we don't come and forcibly take your money and then use it against you. We don't come forcibly take your money and give it to private corporations. We ask you to buy the books and videos and materials at InfoWars.com so we can operate against the big corporate media that uses your tax money against you. And we have the once-a-year money bomb, second annual, raised $280,000 and a little bit more still coming in. And that will really help us expand everything we're doing, and I commend all of you. God bless you. You're going to see big changes in the next year like you've seen in the last. We're going to have our guest with us 5 minutes in the next hour, so I can play a two-minute clip, the clip he mentioned where the Solicitor General of the private Federal Reserve has asked where the trillions go, and she says, I don't know, which, of course, isn't true. Now we're openly not just seeing the government spend tens of billions a year for fake newscasts, buying reporters, these news packages that were secret. Now they're openly saying they're going to bail out the media. I mean, how about a bailout for the taxpayers, sir?
Well, exactly. I mean, particularly on this media question, how in the world could you possibly have a free media when they know they might have a chance to get a bailout? Who's going to want to criticize the government now if you know money could be coming if you shut up and toe the line? It's unbelievable that anyone could conceivably support this.
All right, I've asked all my questions. I know there's a lot of other points that are important. What are other areas? I mean, because you've got the evidence there and in your book of where they do things that make the economy worse.
Well, let me just first make a quick comment about the Inspector General of the Fed, the clip that you've got there. I think this, if you watch this woman, she genuinely, either she should win an Academy Award, or she genuinely doesn't understand this stuff. Whatever the case is, either she's a liar or ignorant, it shows an unbelievable contempt for the public. It really shows the Fed's total contempt that they would produce this woman who can't answer a single question or refuses to answer even the simplest sort of question. It's just astonishing. But my argument, one of my points in Meltdown, and incidentally, while we're on the media question, Meltdown has got a foreword by Ron Paul, the only person in 100 miles of Washington with any credibility on this. It's the New York Times bestseller for 10 weeks. The New York Times, my publisher tells me, has refused to review it, even though it is customary for them to review bestsellers. The book calls out the Fed and all this stuff. Anybody can get it, so they won't review it. The last time, the only other time they did review a book of mine was The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, and I'm sure they realized that after they condemned it, everybody bought it. So needless to say, they can't mention it at all. But the New York Times, without some type of bailout, is clearly going down. I mean, if they're going to need some type of bailout, and I hope it never comes. It couldn't be, I mean, really, it couldn't be more richly deserved. But one of my arguments, and it's not exclusive to me, is that the very existence of the Fed, the very fact that you have one, increases what we call moral hazard. In other words, it makes people do riskier things than they otherwise would do. And in particular, ever since especially the late 90s, when there was a hedge fund called Long-Term Capital Management. That's a bad name. You would not want this hedge fund managing your long-term capital. But anyway, Alan Greenspan bailed this thing out when things went sour.
Now, that was the mathematic geniuses that were invincible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so absolutely invincible, and then bang, the economy gave its verdict. Well, after he did that, of course, what did that make Lehman do? What did that make Merrill Lynch do?
Get 10 times more reckless.
Exactly. So, I mean, meanwhile, this is all blamed on the free market. No, we should blame it on the fact that we've got this monopolistic entity that is, and again, there is this sort of superstition that the Fed is there for the common person. Come on. It's there to bail out the big guys. That's why it's there.
Absolutely amazing. Final segment with our guest. We're going to come back, just play a minute or two of him asking her, and she's just bumbling around and can't answer anything. You'll hear a bunch of this weird corporate doublespeak about, is there a review of this? And that's coming up in 1 minute as we start the final hour. Stay with us. By the way, I have gotten so obsessed with the North Korea situation and Iran, and I forgot to get to our top story today like a fool the last 3 hours. The DOD training manual describes all protest as low-level terrorism, and the Army's declassified documents that I am watched by the U.S. Army at my events, and so is Ron Paul. And Ron Paul just kind of nicely shrugs it off. But that's coming up. We have these In the Fed rallies. They have Army intelligence there. A new breaking mainstream news. We'll cover that. And we've got just a few minutes left with Tom Woods, tomwoods.com, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, best-selling author. But let's go ahead and play just a minute or two of this clip. This is the Selector General, the investigator of the Fed investigating itself, bumbling around. Here it is.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Coleman, you're the Inspector General for the Federal Reserve, right?
That's correct.
Have you done any investigations concerning the Federal Reserve's role in deciding not to save Lehman Brothers, which led to shockwaves that went through the entire financial system?
In that particular area, you know, I don't generally comment on specific investigations, but we do not currently have an investigation in that particular area.
All right. What about the $1 trillion plus in expansion of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet since last September? Have you conducted any investigations regarding that?
We call it a review, and I don't know if the term investigation may have different connotations. So we're actually conducting a fairly high-level review of the various lending facilities collectively, which would include the TALF, a variety of the different programs that are in process. So we're looking at them at a fairly high level to identify risk.
Well, I understand that, but we're talking about events that started unfolding 8 months ago. Have you reached any conclusions about the Fed expanding its balance sheet by over $1 trillion since last September?
We have not yet reached any conclusions.
Do you know who received that money?
For the... We're in the process right now of doing our review, and...
Right, but you're the Inspector General. My question to you specifically is, do you know who received that $1 trillion plus that the Fed extended and put on its balance sheet since last September? Do you know the identity of the recipients?
I do not know. We have not looked at that specific area at this particular point on those reviews.
And what about Bloomberg's report that there are trillions of dollars in off-balance sheets transactions that the Federal Reserve has entered into since last September? Are you familiar with those off-balance sheet transactions?
You know, I think it may be important at this point, too, just to bring up a certain aspect related to our jurisdiction. And just to...
All right, let's just go ahead and go back. The Inspector General has no jurisdiction over who the Fed's giving money to. In closing, Mr. Woods, your comments on what you just heard.
Well, when my wife showed this to me the other night, and I know there are a lot of us who would kill to have a wife who digs out anti-Fed videos, and I'm telling you, I got one. And when I heard this thing, I thought, this is the best video in favor of auditing the Fed I've ever seen. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like I made it, you know, and she's an actress. I mean, it is astonishing that, as I say, either she's ignorant or she is sinister, but this is the person they put out when they know we've got serious questions. Well, my view is the party is starting to end. It's been almost a century for the Fed, but people are starting to cotton on to it, and it has not happened a moment too soon for me.
So it's not going to live to 100. It's 97, 98 years old right now, and it's time to fell this rotten tree that's endangering the entire house.
I'd love to do it. I don't know if we'll do it in time for 100 years. I don't know when it'll happen, but I do think it will happen.
Well, I hope it's getting long in the tooth. This parasite needs to be removed from it's like a 2-pound tick on a 1-pound dog. Meltdown, a free market look at why the stock market collapsed, the economy tanked, the government bailouts will make things worse. I look forward to talking to you again, sir. Amazing interview, TomWoods.com. Tom, thanks for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Amazing having him on. Oh, very informative. So there, that's the answer to all of you out there that think we need to have more government as a solution.
All right, folks, before we wrap up for today, something I want to tell you about that I have no affiliate connection to, I just believe in very strongly. And that is, I just want to give you a reminder about a great new publication. It's both digital and print. Yes, there are still those of us who like to read a print magazine. And I absolutely love what they're doing with this magazine, Austro Libertarian. The current issue is at the printer right now as I'm speaking to you. It's May 1st, as I'm recording this, May 1st, 2019. So you got to get your order in by the weekend. But if you subscribe with an annual subscription, you get 10 smackers off with coupon code Woods. In this inaugural print version of the publication, you'll find 16 essays, over 100 pages in color. This isn't some newsletter. This is a really, really sleek, nice-looking publication, and it's just the kind of thing we should be supporting. So check out austrolibertarian.com. Get yourself a subscription. Take 10 smackers off with coupon code Woods, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.